All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Benefits of Salvation. The message today is Justification, One of Three Divine Acts. Today is March 27, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he paid the penalty for our sin and satisfied divine justice, bearing your wrath and making it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. We thank you, Lord God, today that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. And Lord, we thank you that you accepted the offering of Jesus Christ. He offered himself as the sacrifice for sin. And you accepted that offering. That was an acceptable offering. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we are accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God the Son, Son of God. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus coming again, and Lord, that he will judge what is living and what is dead. We thank you, Lord, that we thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit would come and guide us into the truth of your word, to come as the Spirit of truth, to come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us. And we ask for wisdom, Lord, for these days. We ask you that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today and to understand the means, the process of salvation. God, that we will really understand this, that we might speak right things about you, Lord. We give you the praise and we give you the glory and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we consider justification one of three divine acts, meaning these are things that God does without our help. So, justification. So, to begin, let's listen to what I've taken from the Westminster Confession of Faith, and here it goes. Now, this is a little more difficult. People had a higher level of English than we have today. They've probably grown, and we're almost like slang or... It's a very low level of English, but anyway, today. All right. Those whom God effectually calls, he also freely justifies. He does this not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins and by accounting and accepting their persons as righteous. Not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone, not by imputing faith itself, the act of believing or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness, but by imputing the obedience and satisfaction of Christ unto them. They receive and rest on Christ and his righteousness by faith, which faith they have not of themselves, but as a gift of God. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification. Yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces and is no dead faith, but works by love. And this is a side comment of mine. Believers are justified by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. It is an act of free grace such that a believer does not have to do anything else to be justified. The act of justification does nothing in you. It is not a subjective experience. It is objective, an act of declaration by which one is declared justified before a holy God. The ground of justification is the righteousness of Christ. The instrument of that is that it is through faith alone. Christ, and that's the end of, and now back to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Christ, by his obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are thus justified, and did make a proper, real, and full satisfaction to his Father's justice in their behalf. Yet inasmuch as he was given by the Father for them, and his obedience and satisfaction accepted in their stead, and both freely, not for anything in them, their justification is only a free grace, that both the exact justice and rich grace of God might be glorified in the justification of sinners. God did from all eternity decree to justify all the elect, and Christ did in the fullness of time die for their sins and rise again for their justification. Nevertheless, they are not justified until the Holy Spirit does in due time actually apply Christ unto them. God does continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified, and although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may by their sins fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored unto them, until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament. Okay, so that was, except for my little insert in there, that is taken from the Westminster Confession of Faith. All right, and now we're having Lauren. Lauren's going to read out the scriptures, not all of them, but enough that we get the idea from the Word of God of justification. So we're going to consider these scriptures. And Lauren, let's see, are you on now? Let's see, do I have to unmute everybody? Oh, I do, okay. All right, we have to unmute everybody. All right, we're going to ask everyone now on the call to mute themselves except for Lauren, so we can hear Lauren. Okay, Lauren, you're on.
Okay. Romans 3:19-30. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed in all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Romans 4:5-8. Now the wages of the worker are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. And David speaks likewise to the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose lawless acts are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Acts 10:43. To him all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Deuteronomy 25:1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Romans 8:1-35. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
Thank you, Lauren. You did a great job. And now let's go on. All right, we are talking about imputation. Imputation. And when we talk about justification, it happens by imputation, and we'll talk more. And we want to think of this. The devil is defeated legally and judicially. Legally and judicially. God is lawful. He is not lawless. God is lawful, and everything that is done in our salvation is lawful and done judicially. So the devil is defeated legally and judicially, and here's how. Justification is a wholly objective judicial judgment concerning the sinner standing before the law. Imputation means that Adam's original sin and the individual sinner's sin are imputed to Christ. And Christ's righteousness is imputed or laid to the account of to the sinner who has repented and believed Jesus. God determines this judgment and pardons the sinner who is in Christ. We talked about this before. What everything we have is in Christ in that category. The imputation of Christ's obedience and satisfaction to him is the ground by which God judges the sinner to be righteous. And we just heard the scriptures that Lauren was reading to us. Romans chapter 5 really goes into it. Okay. On the basis of God's constituting the ungodly man righteous, he declares, this is a declaration, God declares the ungodly person righteous in his sight. In its declarative character, justification possesses an eschatological dimension that is talking about the end times. Eschatological, it's a big word. They love to throw around big words. But it's talking about the end times. For it amounts to the divine verdict at the end, being brought forward into time and rendered here and now concerning the sinner. So that means we have judicial acquittal now. That's what that means. We have judicial acquittal now. We've been declared, the person in Christ has been declared not guilty. Now, this, we're not talking about being declared innocent. No. We are talking about being declared not guilty. And so we are set free by this declaration. It is a declaration. God declares us wholly blameless and without reproach. And that's called a definitive, that's a, how we're defined. Okay. By God's act of justifying him, the sinner, as it were, has been brought before the time to the final judgment and has already passed successfully through it, having been acquitted of any and all charges brought against him. Thus, the believer has judicial acquittal now. All right, its character as a judicial determination and as a legal judgment. In justification, God does not make the believer anything. It is a declaration of right standing before him only. It's merely, but it's, since God is declaring it, that's what brings the power and it's going to happen. It's an act of God. It is a legal judgment. The verbs used have a declarative sense, that is, to deem worthy, not to make worthy, or to declare to be like, not to make like, okay? So you're declared to be something, but that's not the same as making us something. Okay, so we heard Deuteronomy 25 verse 1 and Job 32 verse 2, let's listen to that. According to Elihu, Job justified himself before God. So in Elihu's opinion, Job was arguing his innocence before God. That is declaring himself righteous before God. And see what was Job's problem? He was self-righteous. He wanted his day in court. Because in his own eyes, he was righteous. He declared himself righteous. That was Job's problem, and that was causing his predicament there. He argued his innocence before God. We're not innocent. We've been declared not guilty. by virtue of what Jesus Christ has done and by virtue that Christ's righteousness is laid to our account. Okay. Proverbs 17, verse 15, talks about a judge who for a bribe declared a wicked man to be righteous, or who declared the righteous man to be guilty. In either case, provoke the Lord to anger. A judge is to hand down just judgments and not to take bribes. That's about bribery. And other verses that will be in the written form of this message, which will be on the website marycraig.org and also at the archive website mcmtffr.org. Okay, the righteousness of justification. Some use Genesis 15, verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited, that is, his faith, to him as righteousness. They use that along with other passages, like from the book of Romans and Galatians, as showing that it is our faith act that is the ground or the cause of our righteousness. In other words, we saved ourselves. Weren't we so smart to have this faith? If this were so, then faith would become a meritorious work, and that counters what the New Testament teaches. We are said to be justified by faith, through faith, upon faith, and according to faith. It does say that, and there's a lot of scripture references. But we are never said to be justified because of faith or on account of faith. In other words, faith is not the righteousness of justification. I can hear noise. I don't know. Please. Oh, I need to mute everybody again. I'll do that in just a minute. In other words, faith is not the righteousness of justification. That distinction is reserved in Scripture for Christ's God righteousness alone. I'm going to mute the phones again. Okay, so faith in Christ is simply the regenerated sinner's saving response to God's effectual summons, by means of which the righteousness of Christ, the sole ground of justification, is imputed to him. And we went over faith. We went over the repentance unto life and faith in Christ. We've done that in previous weeks. So in Genesis 15, verse 6, it is righteousness by faith that is contrasted with righteousness by work, and that the emphasis falls to such an extent upon this fact that although it is a God righteousness, yet it is also, and with equal emphasis, a faith righteousness. It is the righteousness of God brought to bear upon us because it is by faith. And it is by faith that we become the beneficiaries of this righteousness because it is a God righteousness. The one complements the other. It is a God righteousness because it is of divine property, meaning God is the only righteous one. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's get out of the Savior business. Let's not want our day in court based on what we have done or what we think we are or whatever. It's the height of pride. It is a faith righteousness because it is brought to bear upon us by faith. Okay. And a lot of this is coming from John Murray's book, The Epistle to the Romans. So God the Father, in the very act of justifying the ungodly, imputes to the believer the objective God righteousness of Jesus Christ, thereby constituting him legally righteous in his sight. And it is not by this act no human judge can do when a guilty party stands before him. Anyway, all right, now let's look at this. Justification is a finished work. It's a finished work. The believer is justified, number one, in Christ. Bunches of scripture. We are justified in Christ. Number two, the believer is justified by Christ's death work, the cross work of Jesus Christ, and the fact that he died to pay the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, number three, the believer is justified not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God. And four, by the righteousness and obedience of Christ. So it's Jesus' righteousness and it's his obedience. Now, the best way, the easiest way I've found to explain this is that God is infinite and eternal, and he doesn't change, okay? And he is self-existent. He's a self-existent one. And so because he's infinite, when Adam sinned, Adam's sin was goes down through the whole human race, what's called the Adamic race, going all the way back to the beginning. It's just in there. We have little hearts bent. We're bent. Bent toward, we have iniquity. It's the bent of the heart toward evil. And so it's, there's a main iniquity with each person. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's lying. Let's see, iniquities. Anyway, they're listed here and there. But it's a bent. We're bent. We just, I don't know, it just permeates our being. And so we have Adam's sin that travels down. And then we are born and we have this in and we don't see things straight. We don't do things straight. God is the one who makes crooked places straight. He makes crooked places straight. So we're kind of like, I look at it as being like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, not pizza, Pisa, P-I-S-A in Italy. And the tower is still there, been there for hundreds of years, and it leans. It just leans. It's not straight. And you go there and you get off this plane and whatever, and they take you to see this building and it's leaning. And that's kind of how we are. We have this bent. We're not, and God makes crooked places straight. So our compass is a little off. Our internal compass is a little off. Just like right now, my computer clock that's supposed to be lined up with internet time decided that it's off. It's a little messed up. Because it needs a new battery. Well, we need a new battery. And so Jesus' obedience was a perfect obedience, even to death on the cross. So we're not only trusting Jesus' death on the cross to pay the death penalty in our place, we're also trusting his life. Because if he were not the Lamb of God without spot or blemish, he would have been disqualified to be our Savior. So you see all these encounters that Jesus has with this and that because he's being tested over and over to see. I mean, not that the people realize it, but he's being tested to see, okay, are you really walking in perfect, personal, perpetual obedience? Are we? No, we're not. But see, we tend to think, well, I make mistakes, but you, and you, and you, you are the sinners. Okay, I make mistakes, you know, and I think God overlooks my mistakes. Well, actually, he doesn't. So that if we offend in even one point of the law, his law, not ours, then we are guilty of all of it, because we're lawbreakers and we're covenant breakers. And is it a bad rap? Yes, it is. God is holy and sovereign, and he's the creator, and we owe him obedience, complete obedience, by virtue of the creator-creation relationship alone. Okay, so we're as my mother would say, in a pickle. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, we're in a pickle. Sometimes it's fun to look, since you can Google everything, to look up some of these slang phrases that we use, like to be in a pickle, and see where they came from. Anyway, so we're in a pickle, and the problem is, like the problem with Job, is that even if he had no personal sin and he was totally righteous, a totally righteous a human being who never did anything wrong, he forgot about Adam's sin. How's he going to get rid of that? See? Well, that takes God. That takes God. And God provided the way in Jesus Christ, who is the infinite God-man. So we have an infinite and holy God. And when we sin, we are finite. But that sin separates us in an infinite way. I don't care if we're 99.44% pure, and we just live this great life and whatever, and we never sin. How that looks, I don't know. We still fall short of the glory of God, of the perfection of God. And when we're finite and God is infinite. So God sent Jesus, the infinite God-man, who did everything perfect, a radical obedience in our place and on our behalf to satisfy divine justice for that infinite break, the mess. Okay. And he did it in a way, God did it in a way that is legal and judicial. Okay. And that's why we need to get out of the Savior business and get over ourselves and realize that we need what God has provided. And what God has provided is truly remarkable. It takes quite a while to get it all and understand it. I've been teaching it for years and years because one aspect of another, it started back with my own mother. Because, she would always, even when I was growing up, she wanted to know everything I had learned that day when I went to school. So I knew that. I have to tell her all that I had learned. She went over all the books. She wanted to learn. She had her reasons for wanting to learn. And so that went, that happened even through high school, college, and seminary, and beyond. She just wanted, you know, to learn all this stuff. And then the challenge was being able to take something complicated and have it in plain speech. Oh, that's a cheap thing. Oh. So God causes to be the righteous state which he declares to be. I'll say that again. God causes to be the righteous state which he declares to be. The moment the sinner through faith in Jesus Christ turns away from every human resource and rests in Christ alone, the Father imputes his well-beloved Son's preceptive obedience to him and accepts him as righteous in his sight. And the sinner, now a Christian, may praise God for it. What is declared to be is presupposed to be. So by imputation, the new and righteous judicial relationship, as well as declaring it to be, starts to happen. Okay. And then imputation of the devil will wrap us up here. God as judge has handed down a judicial determination of the believer. Satan accuses and we can own consciousness of sin, but we also own that God says we are righteous because of Christ's righteousness, having been accounted to us. So we don't need to defend ourselves. God is our defense. That is the definition of meekness. God is our defense. So the devil is really good because it works on every generation. All this, you know, there's always a new batch of people and new believers and whatever. But we have to remember an important verse, 1 John 1:9. It's really whenever we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So we have to know this process. And when the devil comes and accuses, blah, 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 and you're this and you're that, you can say, you're right. You're right. You know, I am, totally depraved. I am a sinner and a scoundrel and a worm and no man, and you know, I'm basically dust, you know, and whatever. And but God loves me. And I am clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he is my defense. So take it up with Jesus, because he is my defense. And with enough anointing on your life, you can say, so be silent. Be silent, devil. All right. Well, you have to really know. This is why I teach this, because we have to really know this. Okay. And so because of justification, the believer does love. We're called to love. Love one another, and that's the commandment, to love God and love one another. We don't love on our own. We don't have that in us. If we're truly honest, the kind of love that God calls us to, it's not in us. Not really. Not fully, for sure. We have moments. But the believer does love because Christ did. And Jesus' love has been imputed to us. That love is not in us, but it is imputed to us as we stand in right standing in Christ before a holy God. Because of all this, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. And that's from Hebrews 4, verse 16. Amen. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we thank you for all that has been done in our behalf. Lord, this is the amazing plan of salvation, of how you take a person who is enmity, your enemy, who who is in a state of sin and misery and rebellion, and you take that person and you turn their heart, and the person whose faith was against you and in darkness is now turned toward you. And so, Lord, let your face, your countenance shine upon us, O Lord. For in that there is healing, there is light, there is life. And Lord God, we give you the praise for this today. We give you the glory for this eternal plan of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.